Welcome to Component 4, Introduction to Information and Computer Science. This is the sixth lecture of Unit 9, Components and Development of Large-Scale Systems. The systems development process is a set of activities, methods, best practices, deliverables, and automated tools used by stakeholders to develop and continuously improve information systems and software. In this lecture, we will begin to examine system support and security, the fifth phase of the systems development lifecycle, or SDLC. The Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002, SOX, requires that adequate internal controls be in place for information security. It ensures an organization is measuring and managing their information security processes in a structured manner, and that they can control and sharpen their system to meet their business needs. In the following slides, we discuss some of the concepts of managing system support and security, namely user support, systems maintenance and security, physical security, backup and recovery, and system obsolescence. In addition, healthcare providers, healthcare clearinghouses, and health plan providers are subject to federal rules governing security and other rules related to electronic health records. The primary federal rule governing EHRs is known as HIPAA. HIPAA being the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, including its subsequent amendments. Organizations that must adhere to HIPAA rules are called covered entities. Data in electronic health records, or EHRs, are also subject to HIPAA rules when they are maintained by covered entities. Google Health, a free online electronic personal health record offered by Google, is not a covered entity. Data you enter in Google's health record system are not protected by HIPAA rules. You can learn more about rules related to healthcare providers and EHR security in Unit 8, Slides 8 through 18. Companies of all sizes spend a significant amount of their IT budgets on software and systems. New applications automate tasks previously done manually or improve older software, thus enhancing productivity. But the bottom line benefits of these upgrades are not seen unless the end users can successfully make the transition to the new applications. Companies provide user support in many forms, including user training and a help desk, to provide technical support and assistance. The first objective in providing user training is minimizing any productivity losses associated with the transition to the new system or application. The new system needs to help users do their jobs more quickly, accurately, and/or securely than before. With user training, there is often a department or site champion, someone who is trained completely and serves as a first line of support. Other users in the champion's area are also trained, but not as extensively. A help desk is a critical component of user support. The help desk consists of IT professionals who provide users with the information they require to perform their tasks. These staff members may provide information on system usage, answer technical questions, and help to contribute to user productivity by teaching users how to obtain required information. Users should be made aware that the help desk is the primary point of contact for information or problem resolution. The help desk is not IT maintenance or support. Rather, it is intended to increase productivity and information resource utilization. As well as serving as the contact between IT staff members and users, the help desk may also be used as the point of reference for IT support activities. Users may report problems, ask for system maintenance, or even submit requests for new systems. Systems maintenance is a term used to include a wide variety of tasks required to keep systems operational and current. These can include anything from hardware maintenance or replacement to software upgrades. System maintenance is often used to send generic messages to users to indicate that the systems will not be available, without specifying the technical details involved in the maintenance tasks. These tasks may take only a few minutes to perform, or may take hours or even days. Network maintenance may indicate that network routers are being upgraded or the network is being modified. Although the servers themselves are not being modified, they would not be available over the network during the maintenance period. Maintenance is performed on a regular basis and should be performed during off-peak hours to minimize the impact on the user base. Users should be notified in advance of scheduled maintenance to allow for any required changes in operational procedures during system downtime. Systems may also fail unexpectedly due to hardware or software failures or malicious attacks. If the failure is not catastrophic, the system administrators may be able to report to users that the system is undergoing system maintenance so that users know that the system is unavailable and that system administrators are attempting to resolve the issue. Corrective maintenance diagnoses and fixes problems in an operational system. It includes, but is not limited to, finding and fixing logic errors, replacing defective network cabling, restoring proper configuration settings, program code debugging, driver updates, and installation of software patches. Adaptive maintenance concerns modification of an operational system to ensure it continues to run as the external environment changes. This type of maintenance adapts the system to changing requirements, such as a new or upgraded operating system, hardware platform, compiler, software library, or database structure. It does not add functionality. It only allows the system to continue working in the altered environment. One example is when an originally working link on a web page suddenly produces a page not found message. Adaptive maintenance would update the link so that the changed page can be seen. Perfective maintenance changes an operational system to make it more efficient, reliable, or maintainable. Perfective maintenance includes the installation of additional memory, the writing of macros to handle repetitive tasks, compressing system files, the optimization of user desktop settings, developing a library for code reuse, and the installation of more powerful network servers. Preventive maintenance avoids future problems by analyzing areas where trouble is most likely to occur. Preventive maintenance is often performed when a potential problem or system vulnerability has been identified and resolved, and an upgrade will prevent a potential system failure. Users who are unaware of the consequences of failing to update the system may view the system downtime as inconvenient, as the issue has not directly affected their access. Preventive maintenance includes the installation of new antivirus software, development of a standard backup schedule, implementation of regular defragmentation processes, and the analysis of program reports for patterns and tightening of all cable connections. Preventive maintenance results in increased user satisfaction, decreased downtime, and reduced costs. It keeps users from encountering far more serious problems and is essential to keeping the system up and running. System maintenance requires effective management, quality assurance, and cost control. Strategies include maintenance teams, maintenance management programs, configuration management processes, and maintenance release procedures. This slide and the next discuss these strategies. The maintenance team consists of a system administrator who manages computer and network systems, system analysts who investigate and quickly locate the source of a problem, and programmers who write the code. Maintenance requests are formalized processes to document and resolve problems. Users submit most requests for corrective and adaptive maintenance when the system is not performing properly or if they want new features. IT staff members usually initiate requests for perfective and preventive maintenance. A typical process begins with submission of the maintenance request. An initial determination is then made by the system analyst as to whether the request is justifiable or not, if it needs to be handled immediately, and whether the request can be performed within a pre-authorized cost level. If the cost exceeds the predetermined cost level or will require a major configuration change, the systems review committee decides whether to proceed and assigns a priority to it. The system administrator assigns maintenance tasks to individuals or teams for completion. Users who submit the maintenance request expect a prompt response and to be kept informed of the status of their request. With many new development and maintenance activities, requests must be prioritized. The objective is to have a procedure that balances new development with maintenance work to provide the best support for business requirements and priorities. Configuration Management, CM, is the process for controlling changes in system requirements during development. It is an important tool for managing system changes and costs after a system becomes operational. Keeping track of all documentation and ensuring that updates are distributed properly are important parts of configuration management. In a maintenance release methodology, non-critical changes are held until they can be implemented at one time. Each change is documented and installed as a new version of the system. This is called a maintenance release. Commercial software suppliers such as Microsoft provide maintenance releases, often called service packs. Version control is the process of tracking system releases or versions. When the newest version of a system is installed, the prior release is archived or stored. If there are problems with the new release, the prior version can be reinstalled. Baselines are formal reference points measuring system characteristics at specific times. Functional baselines are the configuration of the system documented at the beginning of the project and consist of all the necessary system requirements and design constraints. Allocated baselines document the system at the end of the design phase and identify the changes since the functional baseline. The allocated baseline includes testing and verification of all system requirements and features. Product baselines describe the system at the beginning of system operation and include the results of performance and acceptance tests for the operational system. To guarantee acceptable support for business operations, the IT department manages system faults and interruptions, measures system performance and workload, and anticipates future needs. Fault management monitors the system for signs of trouble, logging all system failures, diagnosing problems, and applying corrective actions. System performance is measured with benchmark testing that uses a set of standard tests to evaluate system performance and capacity. Metrics are performance measurements monitoring the number of transactions processed in a given time period, the number of records accessed, and the volume of online data. Network performance metrics include response time, bandwidth, throughput, and turnaround time. Response time is the time between when a user makes a request to the system and when the user receives a response. Users expect an immediate response and are frustrated by apparent lags or delays. Response time is what users notice and complain about the most. Bandwidth describes the amount of data the system can transfer in a fixed time period and is expressed in kilobits, megabits, or gigabits per second, KBPS, MBPS, GBPS. Bandwidth is the volume of data that can be transferred in a specified time. It is usually described in kilobits, KBPS, megabits, MBPS, or gigabits, GBPS per second. Throughput refers to the amount of data that can be transferred during specific operational conditions and may be affected by network conditions and hardware capabilities. As with bandwidth, it is also expressed in kilobits, megabits, or gigabits per second. Turnaround time applies to centralized batch processing operations, such as customer billing or credit card statement processing. It measures the time between submitting a request for information and the satisfaction of the request. Capacity planning monitors current activity and performance levels, anticipates future activity, and forecasts the resources needed to provide required levels of service. First, a current model based on the system's present workload and performance specification is developed. Then, demand is projected, along with user requirements, over a 1 to 3 year time period. Analysis of the model shows what is needed to maintain satisfactory performance and meet requirements. The what-if analysis allows the varying of one or more elements in a model to measure the effect on other elements. The main objective of capacity planning is to make sure the system meets all future demands and provides effective support for business operations.